It's Thursday, March 12, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I want to point you out to a very important alert in Kentucky, that Senate Bill 5 that we'd been talking about. This is the bill that would criminalize anyone as a drunken driver, a DUI driver, if you're caught with any detectable levels of marijuana in your blood, even if you're not impaired, even if you haven't been smoking. And for some of us that smoke quite often, that detectable level can remain in your blood for quite a long time. So basically, it would be illegal to drive in Kentucky if you're a stoner. So we want to fight that bill. It is SB 5, and they've kind of tacked it on as an amendment to two other bills in the Kentucky House. Now, the catch here is if they don't get a vote on this by Friday, the bill will die. So tomorrow is it. It's the day. So get on the phone, check out our CapWiz alerts page, which you can find through the Activist Alerts map on the right-hand side of the Normal Daily Audio Stash. You got to do it tonight or tomorrow morning. We've got to kill this bill in Kentucky. Now, as part of our mission to educate people about the folly of adult marijuana prohibition, I've created a new web widget, the Marijuana Arrest Widget. And what it does is it shows you how many people have been arrested to this second and how much money we've spent on doing that here in America. Also, it keeps track of how much money we could be making if marijuana were legal. Second by second, you can watch the dollars tick away, the dollars that we're wasting on adult marijuana prohibition. Get your Normal arrest widget and paste it onto your blog or website or MySpace page as soon as you can. Let's spread the word. Finally, before we get to the news, I wanted to play this little clip. This was on the CNN news channel this morning. Representative Loretta Sanchez from California asked about legalization of marijuana.
The Economist this week, of all things, argues that legalizing drugs would diminish this gang violence and addiction. Here's what it said briefly. Legalization would not only drive away the gangsters, it would transform drugs from a law and order problem into a public health problem, which is how they ought to be treated. Governments would tax and regulate the drug trade and then use funds raised in the billions saved on law enforcement to educate the public about the risks of drug taking and treatment of addiction. What do you think? I mean, should we legalize drugs?
Certainly, there is one drug, it's called alcohol, that we prohibited in the United States and had such a problem with as far as underground economy and cartels of that sort, that we ended up actually regulating it and taxing it. And so there has always been this thought that maybe if we do that with drugs, it would lower the profits in it and make some of this go away.
Is that realistic or is this a political hand grenade?
Well, certainly, I have seen in my own state of California people over and over voting as in a big majority the whole issue of marijuana and possession of that. So we haven't, unfortunately, been able to see if maybe that particular drug, what the effects of that would be, because, of course, the federal law says no, while the state law says, yes, let's regulate it, let's allow people to carry it, etc. So maybe it would be a good pilot program to see how that regulation of marijuana might happen in California, since the populace, the majority of Californians believe maybe that should happen.
Well, it certainly has been talked about for a while. I suppose it'll be talked about further. Good luck in your hearing later this morning, Congressman Loretta Sanchez from California. Thank you.
It kind of took her a while to get around to it, but sure is good to hear someone from our United States Congress proposing a sensible solution to this adult marijuana prohibition. I think the idea of starting a pilot program in California with legalization is a fantastic idea and something that harkens back to our founding fathers' idea of our states being laboratories of democracy. Let's give it a shot. Let California legalize, and when the sky doesn't fall there, we'll see legalization all across the country. All right, now coming up on your daily audio stash, we of course have your hemp headlines with some scary news coming out of Mexico about the possible destabilization of our neighbor to the south. In our interview segment, we're going back to Southern California for an update on the case of Rich and Joanne, two elderly folks who were charged with growing their medical marijuana. A strange case out of San Bernardino County in California. Terry Joyce is here to explain the whole thing. And in our Daily Toker Tunes, it's Rockin' Thursday, so we've got some great music from Slotty Bandit, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. Hey, the deadline for getting your songs considered for the Marijuana Music Awards 2009 is coming up on this Friday. So, musicians, get your songs in. The email address is info@MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, or just visit the site. You'll find all the instructions there. And in our second interview segment, something a little bit different. We're going to be speaking with the anonymous Bob, who has a very important lesson to teach some of you stashers out there about why you shouldn't have a little roach in your ashtray when you're driving around town. And stashers, sorry for the late posting tonight. My wife has taken quite ill with some food poisoning, and I've had to spend some time off and on helping her. So I apologize for the late stash, but we're taking care of her as best we can and bringing the news to you while we do it. We're chock full of keefy, stashy goodness tonight, so let's get right to it. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Fears in U.S. drug war will destabilize Mexico. Washington, D.C. Concerned about a potential failed state, not Pakistan, not Somalia, that California's neighbor Mexico is mounting in Washington as an all-out war involving 45,000 Mexican military personnel fails to quell rising drug violence that is spilling from such Mexican cities as Tijuana into the United States. An estimated 6,290 drug-related murders occurred in Mexico last year, 6 times the standard definition of a civil war, said Vonda Felbab Brown, a leading scholar on the issue at the Brookings Institution. Representative Mike Thompson, Democrat of St. Helena, a member of the House Intelligence Committee, described beheadings of Mexican mayors and police chiefs and said Mexican drug gangs have infiltrated the cannabis fields on both public and private lands in Northern California. He said Mexican villagers are kidnapped and smuggled into the northern coastal forests to grow pot, leaving environmental wreckage in their wake. He said a timber company employee had been held at gunpoint by a Mexican gang, and he worried that hikers could be threatened. There also have been gang confrontations with firefighters. Thompson said, quote, "This isn't your 60s hippie growing a little pot on the back 40 to get through winter," end quote. Unlike past problems over immigration, Mexico's current problems are blamed increasingly on the United States, its enormous demand for illegal drugs, and its availability of military-style weapons, including bazookas and grenade launchers, that are smuggled to Mexico and used to match or overwhelm the Mexican military. Sidney Weintraub, a leading Latin American scholar at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said, quote, "My personal view is, it's us who is more responsible than Mexico. We're providing profits of about $25 billion to the drug cartels. That's a lot of money. About 40% of the drug sales are marijuana," he said. Quote, "We imprison more people for marijuana than any other drug. What we have to do is change our policy and decriminalize marijuana. I don't think we can do much unless we cut back on the money. As long as they have all that money, Mexico is in a largely hopeless situation," end quote. It's beginning to look like the only thing we produce and export anymore in America is destabilization and violence in other countries. Our government has pledged another $1.4 billion to Mexico to help combat the drug gangs, because if there's one thing we've learned from the drug war, it's if what you're doing isn't working, do more of it with greater firepower. America likes to smoke pot. No matter how sophisticated your army, you cannot fight the laws of supply and demand. We want it, and if you'd let us use it, buy it, and grow it, there would be no customers for Mexican drug gangs. America can grow some mighty fine domestic marijuana. On Canadian radio today, I was asked, well, wouldn't the criminal gangs turn to pushing harder drugs and other crimes? Well, yeah, sure, that's what criminals do. They make their living from committing crimes. However, criminals, just like our government, are subject to the laws of supply and demand. 60% of these violent drug gangs' money comes from marijuana because Americans like marijuana. Gangs can try to push more coke, meth, and heroin, but who's going to be buying? In fact, I'd argue that a legal marijuana market in America would reduce the demand for coke, meth, and heroin, just as the end of Prohibition in the 30s brought people back to beer and reduced demand for hard liquor. Government report: drug czar too obsessed with marijuana. Our Stash founder, Chris Goldstein, is blogging his fingers off over at his salon blog, Freedom is Green. I'm trying to talk him into posting excerpts of his excellent work here at the Stash, but for now, I'll do the excerpting. The National Academy of Public Administration recently issued a report on the infamous entity of Prohibition, the ONDCP. This is the throne room of the drug czar, whose official title is the Director of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. The portrait painted in this report of the ONDCP makes for the most bone-chilling horror for marijuana policy wonks. It turns out the biggest criticism of the ONDCP from other agency officials and those within the government is that it spends far too much energy on marijuana. At the very beginning, the panel observes in the report, quote, "A number of partner drug agency officials and other drug control stakeholders criticized recent strategies for narrowly focusing on youth and marijuana to the detriment of other age groups and other illicit drugs, such as methamphetamine," end quote. According to the report, the ONDCP invested heavily in the scientifically false theory of gateways for teens and almost completely ignored adult substance use in the nation. The result is seen in spikes of meth and prescription drug abuse, along with an increase in adult marijuana consumption. The picture here is of an ONDCP populated by a haphazard group of prohibitionists, each seeking to make noise and utilize their tremendous military manpower resources to follow their own whims of how to fight the so-called war on drugs. Their only common interest seems to be using those resources against marijuana consumers. Their unprovoked attack on this large group of Americans has cost lives and families, let alone missed economic opportunities over generations. UK. Number of cannabis factories found by police rises sharply. I love reading the British news. Such odd little differences between American and British English, like legalization with a Z versus legalization with an S, or what we call a truck, they call a lorry. And what we call a marijuana grow house, they call a cannabis factory. 29 forces said they had uncovered more of the drug being grown, including Gwent, which detected no factories in 2004, but 151 last year. The largest force in the UK, London's Metropolitan Police, reported an increase from 206 to 654, while West Midlands saw a rise from 174 to 672. New guidance has been drawn up by the National Policing Improvement Agency to tackle the burgeoning problem of cannabis cultivation. A national cannabis coordinator has also been appointed to share information and best practice between forces, a Home Office spokesman said. See what I mean? What they call a national cannabis coordinator, we call a drug czar. Words are important. Cannabis factory conjures industrial, dirty, high volume, manufacturing, and business. A marijuana grow house isn't as scary. It's a house where marijuana grows. Houses belong in neighborhoods, even if the house is being misused. Factories don't belong in neighborhoods and can only be used for business. Reefer madness is a universal language. It just has different dialects from country to country. Police seize 1,200 pounds of pot in spinach cans. Gallup, New Mexico. Police with the New Mexico Motor Transportation Division found 1,200 pounds of pot packed in cans labeled as spinach during a stop at the Gallup port of entry. An inspector noticed that only a few of the cans were labeled and that the weight printed on the side of the can didn't match the actual weight. A closer look during last Friday's bust revealed the canned drugs, which were worth an estimated $1.5 million. The four pallets of cans were being transported along with fresh produce. The 50-year-old truck driver said he was on his way from California to the East Coast. The driver and the pot were turned over to the Drug Enforcement Administration. Ah, see, I knew there was something about that corn cob pipe that Popeye always has in his mouth. Conspiracy to import and distribute marijuana? Or a clever scheme by mothers nationwide to get their kids to finally eat their spinach? We report, you decide.
So here's the deal. We've got this new president who seems really cool. I mean, the guy's well-spoken, he's open-minded, he seems to listen to people, and he's extremely well-educated. I mean, he graduated from Harvard Law School. But this is a guy who's admitted to smoking marijuana, that illegal leaf that just ruins people's lives. How could the president of the United States have ever done such a thing? Maybe because he knew it was less addictive than both alcohol and nicotine, and knew it can be consumed responsibly. But it's probably been a while since he smoked a joint. So if I had one thing to say to Barack Obama about cannabis, it would probably be something like, "Hey dude, I'm one of 80 million people in your country who has smoked marijuana, and so are you." Or maybe I would say over 700,000 people were arrested in this last year for marijuana-related charges. Or something like, "Let's re-examine this law altogether." Or possibly that $1.3 billion is spent annually fighting marijuana, not including the cost of prison management and construction. Or I might just end up saying, "Hey man, you know the facts. Let's fix this mess."
Weed.
That's Hooey Valley, Hooey Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearances.